Tonight, Siman Zayin. Yesterday, we talked about Kriyat Shema, saying Brachot and learning Torah in front of an image of a woman who is not dressed properly. So that was she's actually there, such as on the bus. But what about on a screen? What about on a screen, on a television screen, or in a mirror, I guess, if that would happen? But on a screen, you're not actually seeing the person themselves, or you're seeing it through a screen. So the Gemara in Brachot, when it says, the Gemara in Brachot Kafdalet, when it says, Tevach b'Yishayirva, it says, what's the problem? V'lo yira'e b'chayirva davar. It seems like you're seeing it. It seems like you are seeing it. So, b'ri'ya talya milta. The whole idea is if you see that, so then you'll have an inappropriate thought. It's not that it's what we're thinking when we see it. So what's the difference if you see it on the screen, you see it in person? Doesn't matter. Vision is vision. And the Gemara, the next page, talks about ri'ya derech ashashit. You're seeing something through glass. And the Gemara there says, yeah, that's also considered to be erva. Meaning, if you see erva, if you see a woman undressed through glass, meaning through a window, that's also considered to be seeing. Ah, you're not actually... Of course, you're seeing. You're looking right through. It counts the same, right? It counts the same. What's the difference if you see it without glass in front of you or with glass in front of you?
I think that glass wasn't as clear.
Was not out. So certainly our glass is, right? So some of them say, even those who want to say, that was a, meaning, I think what Oscar is pointing out, would anybody even think for a moment that that's not Re'iya? Of course it's Re'iya. Of course it's Re'iya. Of course it's seeing. Of course it's seeing. Maybe their glass wasn't as pure as it's clear, so they had a question, and even that was fine. There's one moment, Shubat Alachot Ketanos says, yeah, that's why I'm allowed to read the Sefer Torah with glasses on. I'm not seeing the Sefer Torah, I'm seeing the image through my glasses. No, it's considered to be Re'iya. I'm seeing the Sefer Torah with my glasses. We should point out there's a famous quote from the Chazon Ish that reading Torah through glasses isn't good. The reading Torah through glasses doesn't count. I'm not actually seeing the Sefer Torah. I'm seeing an image of the Sefer Torah that's manipulated through the glass, meaning maybe you got a Kiddush Levana. So they talk about what does the glasses do? Glasses alters where the image hits my eye. It doesn't actually alter the image in any way. Meaning the object is still there. I can only see it because it's now filtered my vision in some... But he says it's not an issue. So people generally are only machmir for this Chazon Ish when it comes to Parshat Zachor. When it comes to Parshat Zachor, it's a deoraita. People are machmir for this Chazon Ish. It's cute. You talk about it. It's before Purim. It's what's to discuss. But otherwise, if I took them off to see the Levana, I wouldn't see the Levana. So then that goes there. Yeah. So we covered that yesterday. Zayin Sham. Okay.
In a rare case, if they're out, they're converted, the only person to witness is Eli, the rabbi. Men.
Yeah.
He put the mirror off the book through the mirror.
No. So if he's already, you have to have three men watching. You have to have a Beit Din. This is a big machlok at Achronim. Do you have to have a Beit Din present to watch the woman go into the mikveh? Or is it enough that there's a woman who watches her go into the mikveh, and then she comes and reports to the Beit Din, oh, I saw Gioris, whoever, go to the mikveh. We generally assume that you have to have the Beit Din present. It's not enough to have an Eid Mithyed, and so we do it in a very, very tanua way. She wears this huge robe, and you see her head sticking out from on top of the robe. You see her head? She dunks underneath. Once she goes under, the men turn around and leave. Meaning they don't have to see her getting out of the water. They don't need to see her getting into the water. They only see her once she's inside, and it's effectively she's completely covered. They can't really see anything. All they do is see her head. The minute her head goes under, they turn around and leave.
So perhaps
but it's also, they're not saying brachot. They're not saying anything. If anything, she's the only one saying a bracha. The better question is, how can you say a bracha in the mikveh? Meaning, a woman has to say a bracha in the mikveh every month. Meaning, every woman needs to say a bracha in the mikveh every month. Forget a Beit Din. How is she able to do it? Well, she's undressed. She can't say a bracha while she's undressed. Right? The Mishnah in Trumot says, Chamisha lo yitromu, and one of them is someone who's undressed. A room. Why? Can't say the bracha while you're undressed. So how do we, with every woman, every month, so this Ashkenazi woman, a Sephardi woman, should wear the robe before, this for a regular woman who's nida. She says, she wears the robe, she says the bracha, and then she goes in. That's not a problem. The Gioret can't do that. The Gemara points out that the Gioret can't say the bracha before she goes in because she's not Jewish. So she can't say, Asher kedishan b'mishnah tivanu. Who is he mitzaveh? She can only say it once afterwards. So, okay, so she's got an issue. But for the Ashkenazi women who say the bracha after they're already in the mikveh, they dip once, then they say the bracha. So then, yeah, there's all these issues. They muddle the water. There's all sorts of ways to get around this. Vayishma, if you're in the mikveh, it doesn't say what to do, does it? Does the mishnah, the Gemara, I think, elaborate that you have to move it around in order to, right? If you're, I think it's how long do you have, but they have, yeah, details how to figure that out. Right, but that's on your own, that's on yourself, right? Which may be a lesser level, that might be an objective definition as opposed to a subject, meaning a person's not allowed to do it when they're undressed because it's not kavod. But that's not because they're going to have an inappropriate thought. It's when they see somebody else that they're going to have the inappropriate thought. Not familiar. Okay. So her husband might be able to ask. The problem is that there's another Gemara which talks about Kiddush HaChodesh. We have Eidut Levana, meaning back in the day, how did you establish the Rosh Chodesh? You had to have two witnesses come and say, we saw the moon. Let's say they only saw the moon through glass. Derech HaShashit, we say, no, that's not considered to be Re'iyah. Meaning, if they saw the moon only through some HaShashit, that's not considered to be glass. That's not considered to be a sight, and that's not considered to be Eidut for Kiddush HaChodesh. Now, if the simplest, one Gemara seems to say it is a problem, one Gemara seems to say it's not a problem. The way I would have resolved the contradiction, he doesn't, is, yeah, one's about inappropriate thoughts that a man's going to have if he sees a woman. Okay, so even if he sees a vague outline, he can still have the inappropriate thought. It's not considered to be, it's not re'iyah, same re'iyah. It's not, okay, you want to know, is it perfect vision? It's not, but who cares? It's not about the sight, it's about what it causes. Whereas the other one, we're looking at the moon, is about actually seeing it. Did you actually see it? So you didn't see enough of it to be clear that it's it. Meaning with the woman, you don't have to be able to describe her afterwards. You have to, it's the thought that it causes. So that's how I would have, but he doesn't. Nobody does. Yeah, sorry, for Kriyat HaTorah, I would say, well, I don't know. Maybe for Kriyat HaTorah, what do you need for Kriyat HaTorah? Meaning, what does reading mean? Does reading mean I see the letters enough to be able to recite what they are? Or does reading mean is a din in Re'iyah? I would have said, no, if you see them enough to be able to read them, that's considered to be vision. They talk about this as a Chubana in Yavi Omer. What about, at one point, one of the Israeli money had an image of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Israeli money is very colorful. At one point they had the Dead Sea Scrolls there, but the text was so tiny that you couldn't actually make out that it was really Tanakh. But if you look at the microscope, then it's Tanakh. With a magnifying glass. So is that considered, could you take the money into the bathroom? That was the question. Is it considered to be reading? So I thought the Ravadi doesn't deal with this. I thought he doesn't deal with this angle of it. He thinks it's fine. But I thought, if you can read it, then it's text. If you can't read it, then it's not text. Meaning, if it's non-readable, then I don't care what you did.
But what if it's in your pocket? The little thing in there before.
So that's a separate question. Can you bring?
Always inside. You're never really.
So that's the question. Meaning, can you bring? But I was saying it's not even davar shebichtav. It's nothing. It's nothing because you can't read it. So I would say I'm consistent and say if you could read it, it's text and it's considered to be seeing it. I can get around all of them. Correct. How small is it? But you could. How small is it? So I said, even if you argue that it is by reading, by definition, it's not. I thought reading was even a more leniency. So how do you resolve this issue? So one Gemara again says that if you see the erva derech hashashit, it's a problem. One Gemara says if you see the moon derech hashashit, then it's not good. So the Dvar Shmuel says no. They weren't talking about seeing the moon derech hashashit. You're seeing a reflection of the moon. Derech HaShashit. You're not seeing the moon itself. If you saw the moon itself through glass, that's fine. These people saw a reflection through glass. Or on a mirror. They saw a reflection of the moon. They didn't actually see the moon. So that's not the same. That's not the same. When you see the actual object, that's vision. When you see a reflection or an image of the object, that's not. So everybody says, okay, what about TV? TV, you're not seeing the actual woman. You're seeing an image of the woman. It should be absolutely permissible. And he says, but don't do that. He says, that even though it technically might be okay, he says, no! The whole point of not making brachot and learning Torah in front of someone who's not dressed appropriately is because of the thoughts that it's going to cause you. And therefore, who cares how she's approached? Yeah, it might not be Re'iyah, but who cares? So you saw her in the mirror. You saw it on the TV. What's the difference? It's still causing the hirhur that you're not allowed to have while you're saying Kriyat Shema, or you're learning Torah. How about that could have helped with the previous questions also? He says, but wait a minute. Don't pretend it's okay to have a TV. Don't pretend it's okay to be looking at these things. He goes through a whole Shichat Musar at the end. You shouldn't have these things in your house. They shouldn't be tripping you up. He's talking, I'm only talking about if you're walking in the street, and you're learning, and there's a screen, and there's a something. But we still need to be careful about what we bring into our home. But in the end of the day, he says, yeah, it doesn't matter how you see it if you see something inappropriate while you're learning Torah. So that's a problem. So as we pointed out yesterday, Jason, as long as you would close your eyes or turn away, that would be acceptable.